Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so blessed to be here this morning. What a wonderful day it is. And we look back over the camp and we see how the Lord has lifted us. He is faithful, even in spite of the sorrows that we've experienced, the various problems of life. We know that life is not easy. And sometimes we are facing things that are really seem to be overwhelming. But this week, gradually, we've been able to, or I'm speaking for myself anyway, is to really experience the presence of the Lord. And I hope everyone else has been able to do that as well. And this morning, we still have another service here that will encourage us and bless us all, I know. And we're going to, as we begin this morning, we're going to turn to page 12 of the Red Book, and we're just going to sing the first verse of the song, Blessed Assurance, and then there will be prayer requests, and then the communion, because some people are wanting to get away early, so we'll have the communion early. So let's stand together and just sing the first verse of Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of love. This heavenly spirit washed in
the third verse as well. We're going to sing one more.
Perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking up.
First prayer request is presented by the Rosetown and the Saskatoon Assembly, and is for Samantha Besler. Please pray for my daughter Samantha. She was supposed to have surgery on Tuesday, however they had to cancel as she has a bad sinus infection and is on antibiotics. Her new surgery date is July the 26th. Pray that it goes well and that she has a speedy recovery. Also pray that the Lord will bring her to know him again and that he will be with my grandchildren in a mighty way. And that's really from Wendy Simpson, from those assemblies. Let's just stand again as we take these requests. Father, we pray for Samantha this morning. Lord, you know the situation in her body. You know the situation in her spirit. Father, we pray for both this morning. We pray, O Lord, that as she prepares for this surgery, that you will go before. Lord, you know all of these things. You know the day. You know this medical staff. You know the ones that will attend to her. Lord, you have all of these things, these details, Lord. You are in the details of life. And we just pray, Lord, for Samantha. We pray for those who will attend to her, Lord. Just ask that you cause those procedures to go just as they should go, and that she will recover speedily and completely. Lord, we pray that as you heal her body, Lord, we just pray that you would draw her unto yourself. Lord, we live in a day in which we know that things will happen in which many will cry out unto you. And Father, we just pray that we, along with our sister here, Samantha, will prepare ourselves, Father, get ready for that day so that it will not take us by surprise. Lord, we pray that you would just draw her to yourself, that she may lead those children of hers, Wendy's grandchildren, Lord, in the way of righteousness and train them up in the way that they should go. Lord, we place this thing now in your capable hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
This prayer request is submitted on behalf of Steve Haney for his brother, Rich, who left the move at a young age and has been away from this move for some 35 years. God recently got his attention when he came close to dying. He has been diagnosed with diabetes and cannot walk. He is now a very broken man. He fights depression and he weeps much when our parents and I come to visit him and pray for him in the nursing home, as he knows he has made many bad choices. He has said that if God heals him of his diabetes and he is able to walk, he would come back to the church. Please pray for Rick's physical and spiritual healing. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Lord Jesus, even as we stand here and bring Rich before you, you are stretching forth your hands and touching Rich in the nursing home where he's sitting in the wheelchair right now. And Lord Jesus, we're going to pray for his spiritual condition.
Yes, Lord.
Because that is vitally important that he makes things right between himself and you if he's not already done so. We pray, Lord, that he would make that commitment in his heart to you, to want to serve you with all of his heart and all his soul and all his mind for the remainder of the days that he has, you're going to give him on this earth. Lord, draw him very, very close to you. May he sense the anointing. May he feel that we are have that feeling that we are praying for him and holding up in prayer. And Lord, even as his parents, Joe and Melba and Steve, and as they visit him and the rest of the family, Lord, let your life just flow unto him. And we pray for his diabetes and all the different sub-conditions that are causes all kinds of problems in a body. Lord, we just pray that you would just heal his body so that he can walk again and come through the door of the house of God and walk in. And raise his hands with everybody else and worship you. Oh, Lord, just grant this now, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, here we have a praise report, which is wonderful, from Brenda Duick. And it is on behalf of Danny Weeb. who we prayed for earlier in the week. Thank you for your prayers last night. Danny was doing well enough that they let him go home. Please continue to pray for the restoration of their family. Well, let's just start that continuation this morning as we pray. Father, we are so thankful to have this praise report.
Yes.
Lord, it is important that we come back and acknowledge what you have done and give thanks to you. And we do this morning, Father. We do give you thanks for this and all the miracles that you have done in our midst, Father. And Lord, we just now pray for that this good thing which has started, that you will cause it to continue, Lord. We pray for that family, that there will be a restoration in that family.
Yes.
Lord, you are the God who restores. We know you're going to restore all things unto yourself, Lord.
Amen.
That includes this family, Lord. All of our families, Lord, you intend to restore. We just pray for that this morning and let you know, Lord, that we are anxious for that. This is the desire of our heart, Lord, that families, this family and all families, Lord, be restored unto themselves, their own families, and unto you. We just give you thanks, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Be seated. Can they be seated?
Yeah. You can. Thank
you. You may be seated. Brother Brian Hannigan and Brother Terry Miller are going to take the communion now. Would you come, please?
We would like 14 deacons to come and help, please.
Praise the Lord. I think I said praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think I heard you that time. Glory to God. What a wonderful camp. See, brethren are coming. I'd like to share a few thoughts on the Holy Communion. In this move of the Spirit, we celebrate, and I like that word, the Holy Communion every Sunday, just like they did in the first church, which is a documented historical fact. And it was their practice when they gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. God moved wonderfully in their midst. We have been taught over the years that the Holy Communion is very important to us in our spiritual progress, in our spiritual growth, maturity. It even has something to do with entering into sonship. So it's very, very important. It's known by various names. Some call it the Lord's Supper. Some call it the Last Supper. It's not the Last Supper. We're still observing it this morning. But you can call it the Lord's Supper. You can call it the Holy Communion. You might even want to use the old word of the Holy Eucharist. I like that word, Eucharist, because directly translated, it means celebration of great joy. And the Holy Eucharist is a celebration. We celebrate not his death as much as his life and his resurrection power. And his life is flowing again among us in this camp meeting and flowing among us again this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus himself instituted the Holy Supper. And Mark, would you just hold up for a moment? In Mark's Gospel, in chapter 14, we read, "And they did eat, and as they ate, Jesus took bread." I want you to notice what he did. Jesus took bread, unleavened bread, very much like this. Jesus took bread, you notice, took into his hands. There's power in those lovely hands. Hallelujah. There's still power in those lovely hands this morning. Can you say amen? He took that bread into his hands And then what did he do? He prayed over it. He blessed it. And then he broke it. Several things happened here. And then he gave it to all of them. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. Up till that moment, he held in his hand a piece of bread. An ordinary piece of Jewish bread. Unleavened bread. But when he prayed, laid hands on it and prayed and blessed it, there was an impartation of the life of the Spirit. And only then could he declare, this is my body which is broken for you. Oh, Brother Peters last week, Sunday, ministered to us here a bit on the Holy Communion. And he talked about the broken body of Christ. And he pointed out something. He put it as a question. He said, how many know that Jesus' body was never broken? His bones were never broken. And yet he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And he was seeing you and I this morning as a corporate body of Christ. And as he broke that bread and gave it to them, he was speaking of you and the life that would flow in you and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit in the many-membered body of Christ that would arise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then what did he do? He took the cup. And you notice it was a common cup. Now we use several common cups because of the size of the group here this morning. But he took that cup. I believe the Douay version translated, he took the chalice. He took the cup again into his hands, you see. And when he had given thanks, up till then it was simply a glass of wine. That's what it was. Symbolized nothing, really. It was just a glass of wine. But when he took that glass into his hands and he blessed that cup, gave thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank out of it. The union, the unity of the body of Christ. He didn't give them a tray with a bunch of little cups. He gave them a cup. The union, the unity of the body and blood of Christ. And he said unto them, then he said it, this is my blood of the New Testament. Powerful words. How could he say such a thing? It's because there's life and power in the laying on of hands. We lay hands on the sick because there's power in the laying on of hands. We lay hands on little children and we bless them. This is not just a ceremony. It is a spiritual impartation of the very life of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The presbytery lays hands upon the members of the body and prophesies spiritual gifts unto them. My goodness, we even take a handkerchief, as Paul did, or in this case, a blanket this week, and laid our hands upon it, as Paul of old, hallelujah, laid his hands on the handkerchiefs and aprons and sent them out to those who were sick, could not be there physically. And they received that impartation. That's why you hear people say they clip that handkerchief on their clothing and wear it, because there's a flow of life. There's an ongoing flow of life. See, that we're not playing church here. We're long, long, long past that. We're not into ceremony here. We're not into ritual here. But we are into Christ. Hallelujah. And Christ is in his church. And that Holy Communion on Sunday morning should be taken very seriously. So much so that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote of the power that was in the Holy Communion, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Hallelujah. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And this is in remembrance of me. Some people say, oh, it's just a symbol. Take that out of your vocabulary. It is not a symbol. So we say, oh, eat these emblems. It is not an emblem. He said, it was before. But when you prayed over it, he said, this is my body. This is my blood. Hallelujah. Shed for you. Broken for you. In the same manner also he took the cup, etc. Paul goes into this. And then he said, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, if we were to say, are you worthy? I don't suppose there is a one in the house that would say, put his hand up. I am not worthy, not of myself, not of yourself, not of ourselves, even collectively. We are not worthy. But how is this then that we can partake? Because he is worthy and he has covered us with his blood. And God said, I see the blood and I will pass over you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Somebody going to shout in here. This is This is a celebration of great joy. The Holy Communion is a participation, the scriptures record, in the body and in the blood of Christ. So, you say, Brother Miller, do you believe in the real presence? Yeah, betcha. Sorry for saying it that way. But I believe in the, and we all do, in the real presence of Christ imparted through the laying on of hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do not lose sight of that. You should look forward to Sunday morning service for the Holy Communion. When I was sick, we are an hour from the closest local church. We were not always able to be at a local church. And nobody else lives in our town who is in the local church. And an elder sent a letter to me. Now, this is a really strange one. This is a man who was an elder for several years in the church and then withdrew from the church. But he heard that I was sick. And he sent me a letter. And he said, Brother Miller, if you're going to be well, don't forget to take the Holy Communion. Imagine that. Somewhere along the line, he had been touched by that power. I said to my wife one Sunday when we couldn't get out for a couple of weeks, I've got to have that Holy Communion. Where are we going to get it? And I thought, oh, I have some friends here. Right next door is a Catholic church, and they pray over communion every Sunday. But I can't partake of it because I'm not a Catholic. But my Anglican friends down the road, they pray. Here they come again to my rescue. And I knew they believed in the real presence. I visited with the priest and he said, I believe in the real presence. He says, when I lay hands on that cup, the life of Christ is imparted. Oh man, he almost had me shouting, you see. And he said, and you know, you're welcome. He said, we use a common cup. I hope you don't mind that. I said, oh Lord, that's all I want is a common cup. And the bread. And so we slipped over that Sunday because it just wasn't well enough to go out of town, barely hobbled into that Anglican church. And when they had the Holy Communion, they have you come to the front. I was one of the first ones heading for the front. I couldn't wait when he gave me that piece of bread and said, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. I took it. And then he come with a common cup and he said, this is the blood that was shed for you. And then he said, just kind of whispered, this is the blood that shall never lose its power. And I said, give it to me. Praise God. Now, that was an awkward, unusual situation, but I felt refreshed. It wasn't anything to do with the man. It was everything to do with the very truth that we believe in the real presence of Christ imparted by the laying on of hands. So Paul says, to hurry this along, Paul said when we're gathered for communion, let a man examine himself, a person, examine themselves, and then let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. If we were in our flesh, examining ourselves and seeing ourselves as the flesh that we are so very much yet, we'd probably say, I don't think I'm worthy of this thing. But it's the blood of Christ that makes us worthy. And when you examine yourself, what do you see? You're asking him to shine the searchlight of his great love upon your heart. And you're saying, Lord, there are areas in my life where I really need the touch this morning. Let him bring them to your remembrance. It may be healing that you're in need of. It may be something giving you a problem in your walk. But Paul said, after a man does that, examines himself before God, he said, let him eat, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he gives a warning. He that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are sick, he said, weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So you still want to say there's no power in the communion? Yeah, it can go either way for you. That's why you need to stand in the blood of Christ and in his worthiness. I'm going to throw one more thing in here before I'm finished. Last night, Brian, I was reading this scripture. And it's the first time in my life that it dawned on me that chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he ties two things together. The first one, he tells us to keep the ordinances. And the first one is, he says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. And if the woman be not covered, let her also be shaven. But if it is a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Then he says, for this cause, this reason, the woman should have power. That word power caught me right away, because that's what we're talking about this morning. Anointing, power, spiritual life. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And he goes on, and you notice he didn't start a new chapter. He went right into the Holy Communion from there. He's telling us to observe all of the things that I have taught you. And the result is going to be good for you. Praise his wonderful name. First time I ever saw how close those things were linked. I'm sure there was much more on it, and maybe the brethren at some point will expound. But this morning, let every person here who is a believer feel free to partake of the body and blood of Christ. Those are the words I like to use, the body and the blood of Christ. I won't tell you it symbolizes anything. It's the body and blood of Christ. His presence. Now, that is not the same as transubstantiation, which our Catholic friends teach, that it becomes the physical body and physical blood of Christ. We are not dealing in the physical. We are dealing in the spiritual. Hallelujah. And the impartation of life is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So if you are ill this morning, you can be healed in the communion. When the revelation on the communion came in the early 1950s, the first place where it was really taught, as far as I can discern and talking with others, was at some special meetings in California. And when the brethren expounded on this great truth, he told the people that you could experience miracles, healings, signs and wonders. And when they prayed over the bread, and a lot of this is documented, they prayed over the bread and they prayed over the wine, and the people partook. There was healing after healing after healing. Habits were broken. That was the very first time. And people were really set free. So there is power in the communion. You see why I like to call it the Eucharist? The celebration of great joy, which shall be to all people.
We're going to partake of the bread first. This is not a table of condemnation, but it is a table of examination.
Yes.
I believe we need to take some time and just look before the Lord Jesus. And this is fellowship with Him, that as we partake, maybe you're dealing with rebellion or sin in your life, and rebellion is stopping you from progressing. You can partake for deliverance from rebellion. And as Brother said, whether it could be a healing that you need in your body, it can be finances. Maybe you're struggling with tithing, and things around you financially are not going well. Whatever it is, we're actually participating. It's fellowship with the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, our glorious Lord. So let's just quietly, without singing, take a few moments and examine our hearts honestly before the Lord. And then just everything that comes to mind, just submit it to Christ, and then hallelujah. We'll partake. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, my God, set me free, my God.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Give us that liberty, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Set the captives free, O Lord God. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Marie?
Lord and Savior, we want to have fellowship with You in this remarkable way. And Heavenly Father, as we lay our hands upon this bread and as the people partake, may it truly be fellowship with You, dear Lord. And the changes that we need, may they come about in us by Your power, and may we give You all the glory. Lord, we need You more today than ever. We need a radical change in our hearts, dear Lord. Freedom from self, freedom from the old man, freedom from habits,
Lord,
freedom from sin.
Lord, Lord.
For those who are sick in our midst, dear Lord, to be set free. Even here, this hour, we're looking for that impartation of Your life, Jesus. For You said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Heavenly Father, as we have in quietness confessed our sin to You, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we bless this bread and we break it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father. For the benefit of those who are visiting, you are welcome to partake also. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, we'd ask everyone to, for the sake of unity, break off a piece and just hold it in your right hand until all have been served, and then we will partake together. Hallelujah, 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 Lord.
Has anyone been missed? Let us all partake together.
Holy Father, we're mindful of your holy word, where it is recorded that our Lord Jesus Christ declared, "Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no flow of life in you." And many, when they heard these things, turned their back and walked with him no more. Father, we want to draw closer this morning.
Yes,
we thank you for the power that's in the blood. The power of the Holy Ghost and the impartation of life. So, Father, we, as Jesus did, lay our hands upon this cup as we have been taught. We bless this cup and we give it to all the people and say, "This is his blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many. It will never lose its power. Heal the sick, raise the downhearted. Heal the families and homes and all of the people, and make everyone well and whole. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Lovely name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God." What was a symbol through the laying on of hands has now become the reality. The real presence of Christ is here with us, among us. As we partake, let us partake of him in his name. Amen.
Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. For it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Let it flow this morning. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day. Yes, it will never lose its power.
If anyone's been missed, just raise your hand. Once again, would you raise your hands if you were missed, please? We need the deacons for the offering. This will be an offering for Sharon Schools for the privilege of being here and the blessing of God that He's given us to be able to gather here. If you are writing a check, write it to Sharon Schools. If you need a receipt and you're putting cash in, you can write your name and address on an envelope and write on the outside, offering Sharon Schools.
Let us bow our heads. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for your glory that has come among us. We thank you for this camp meeting. We thank you even for the facilities that you have provided. And now as we give back in thanksgiving, may all of the needs thereof be met. And of those who give and all who receive, in Jesus' name, amen.
During the Sunday service, when the similar event happens, when we were just giving tithes and offering, it's a privilege to worship God with our tithes and offerings. It actually becomes a thrill to see how God blesses at every turn as we endeavor to give Him the 10%, that tithe that belongs to the Lord. And then He seems to work in so many avenues to make sure that you know you're blessed.
and to provide for you, and to the extent that you can even provide for others. It's a time of great worship, a time of adoration to the Lord. Praise his name. We really appreciate those who stayed behind before they got on the road so they could have the communion. And I think if it would be okay, I would like to just, when the deacons are finished, say a prayer for those traveling. That will include many of us. We need God's help. We don't want to take travel for granted. We need God's help and his angels guiding us and keeping the speed at the right speed. Amen? One thing I notice is that if I'm going the speed limit, I never come across anybody else who's going the speed limit. Sometimes you can feel alone because so many people pass you, but there's just this whole company of invisible company of people obeying the law, and you never see them, but you're still doing the right thing, so it's kind of neat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our wonderful deacons. Dear Lord, they're far more than ushers. They even participate in the very thing that Jesus did by taking the cup to the church, taking the bread to the church. And we thank you for the deacons that have that wonderful ministry in the body of Christ, along with our elders. Lord, today as we consider the highways that are ahead of many of us, those who are already traveling, dear Lord, we need your kind of help, dear Lord, to prevent accidents and to just keep everybody safe as they travel. We look to you for that. We thank you in addition, Heavenly Father, that you've given us such wonderful weather. And I just want to say to you that just like Victoria was protected from bugs when she was tree planting, it just seems there haven't been mosquitoes at this camp. And well, it seems like a small thing to pray about, but we thank you for that, dear Lord. And we appreciate how you've given us the joy of being able to fellowship during the day and during the evening without that concern. So we just commit these things to you now and the remainder of the meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.
The last meeting of a camp seems to be a time when we reflect on what God has done for us throughout the camp. And it's sort of a time when we want to be, most of us have to travel, and we want to go on our way rejoicing. And so we want to just make sure that our hearts are open to what God has for us this morning along those lines. And as I think back about the camp, there have been difficult times, especially with on Monday there was that funeral, and just such a different camp. But God seemed to be speaking to us throughout it all. And the camp seemed to be, to me, it seemed to be open, or it was different. It seemed every meeting we would, maybe others thought knew what was coming next, but I certainly didn't. Every meeting we would have a meeting and I'd think, oh, what's going to happen in the next meeting? It seemed as though we had hit a certain level, but God has been so good to us in revealing his will, and I believe that we all have been walking in his will this week in a measure that we hadn't been able to before. And that's one of our goals, is to be able to continue to walk more and more closely to him, more and more in his will. And everything that we do and everything that we say, we've been taught this week I was amazed at some of the prophecies. And there was a young man just up near the front who prophesied about forgiveness. And I turned and I saw him and I thought, that's just, you know, just a young person. And what a tremendous prophecy it had. It came from the Lord. I was just so blessed by it. And as that message of forgiveness was coming from a person of that age, you know, how much more do we, if we have any unforgiveness in us, it's long past time to get rid of it and ask God to dismiss it so that we can move on and live a joyous and victorious life. You can't do anything about the past, and I have a longer past than some of you, but God has blessed me with good health, and I appreciate that. But we need to live for today, and rejoice in the Lord, and move into what He wants for us as our in the days to come. And we can only do that by setting aside any bitterness or any unforgiveness or any lack of love. We want the love of God to be within us. A few years ago, I remember Brother York ministered on the last Sunday of the camp, and he ministered on love, on that chapter on love. And it was really the thing to do at that time, because it stuck with me all this time. And I often think back to that day and the way he ministered, of course, with his deep voice and his authority. He could really plant something in your heart, and he certainly did that day. Praise the Lord. So Brother Robert Prasad is going to speak to us a little bit later, if time permits. I think it's time for us to sing again. Now, I would like us to turn to page 51 of the Red Book. And the song there is called, Ho, Everyone That Is Thirsty. The words come from the book of Isaiah, where it says, Ho, everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Ho, everyone that is weary and sad. Well, we're not weary and sad this morning, I don't think. But we can certainly enter into the Spirit in a greater way today. It says, come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. That's what we're going to do this morning. This song reminds me of the Pine Low Camp. We're privileged to go to the Pine Low Camp every year, not so far from where we live. And it's been such a blessing. And if you're thinking of going to the Pine Low Camp this year, please register right away if you haven't done it. We need to know who's coming so that we can reserve the rooms. If you're thinking of it, but you're not sure, register anyway. I'd rather see you register and cancel than not register, because we need to know who's coming. And we look forward to further blessings in the camps that are coming for those that are able to attend. So, for this morning, let's sing this song. Let's stand together. This word really means, come, everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together. Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Be words of the Lord.
I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gifts I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gifts I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found.
Like Brother Prasad to come up here. We're going to sing the song on that 50 for page 51, right below the one we just sang. I'd just been looking at it, and I'd just like us to sing, "He Touched Me." Praise the Lord. And that's what happened in this camp, isn't it? Come up, brother. So well when this song first came out back in the 70s. It's one of the Gaither songs, and what a blessing it was. It just seemed as though they were writing song after song that was a real blessing to us, and this was one of them. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I shout it while eternity rolls. Let's sing that verse.
Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout
may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. There's something special about a touch. A touch speaks of a point of contact. He touched us and he made us whole. There's a little song we sing down in South America. By the way, I hope most, if not all, people here would understand my South American accent. We would sing a song down in South America about touching Jesus is all that matters. It's all that matters, touching Jesus. And our lives will never be the same again. The song goes on to say that it's only one way. Thanks. Sorry. And touching Jesus is important. But what's more important is the touch from the Master's hand. That connection takes place. It's when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, he touched many and he healed them. Today, it's by faith we have to touch the Lord. And during these camp meetings, we've been experiencing that where doubt and unbelief has to be thrown behind us. And we must press towards the mark of the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Aren't those words beautiful? I was really thrilled when they started to sing that song. And it just went through the whole little group there. And by the time the service was over, people would testify that something has happened to their lives. So, we would like to thank you all for making it here to these camp meetings. This is the last meeting for this Camp 2016 here in North Battleford, and then some of us will be preparing to go on to the camp in North Carolina, Deep South, and after then we'll be preparing to go on to another camp in Trinidad in the West Indies, or the Caribbean as we often say. So during these camp meetings, there's something special that takes place. When God's people come together, something has to happen. Amen. Something has to happen. And so that should be our expectation every time we come to these meetings. We should always expect anything from God. Don't set ourselves a certain guidelines or a certain path in which we must go. Well, we must be open in our mindset to anything that God can do, because he is God and he could do wonderful things. Amen? Amen. I'm so privileged to be here. Amen. I've often thought about this. I look over this congregation this morning and I tell you, I'm extremely grateful. When I look back and I saw how God has brought me, a little boy just of 7 years of age, accepted Christ into my heart in a little village in Guyana, unheard of,
unknown. That place, incidentally, was called La Penitence, meaning repentance. And that was the area that I grew up in, with my mom being a Christian and my dad being of another faith and religion. So when my mom became a Christian, there was a flood of persecution. And as a child, when I accepted the Lord, I came forward in front of the altar. And I tell you something, never let us underestimate the faith of a child. When a child stands up and prophesies, let's take it very, very serious. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings shall come forth the wisdom of God. And so when I came forward there, I accepted the Lord. It was on a Sunday evening. You know, we sing a song, it was on a Sunday, somebody touched me. And those who could remember the day that they got converted, they stood for Sunday. And then when we finished with Sunday, we would go on to, it was on a Monday, somebody touched me. And those who could remember, if it was a Monday, they stood on their feet until they went throughout the week. And then after that, they sing, I don't know what day somebody touched me. And that's marvelous, because sometimes we don't remember. We're not dealing with the event, we're dealing with the fact that it took place. Somebody touched us. And the song goes on saying, it must have been the hands of the Lord. And I tell you, I can recall those days when we would just be singing those songs over. We start the week on Sunday, we end back on Sunday, and I don't know what day. And they keep adding on, it was on a blessed day, somebody touched me. And somebody from the crowd would raise that song, it was on a happy day, somebody touched me. It must have been the hands of the Lord. The touch of the Master's hands makes the difference. So I'm grateful. As I look here and I see you, I really appreciate the people of God. I thank God for you. And I thank God for Americans, Canadians, and all nations. Because this is a wonderful move of the Spirit. And everywhere that we go to, we find there is a connection there. Because people were touched by God and they touched the Lord. There is a community. The Christian community, the called of God, who are out there from every land, every nation, and God has just been blessing them. So, I'm presently, as many of you know, I'm fellowshipping at the church, with the church in North Carolina. I don't fully have the southern accent yet. Just be patient with me. I hope that I will not be converted. Isn't that good? Amen. So, the camp meeting, the drift, when you look at the drift of this camp meeting from one meeting to another meeting, we can see all of the messages tend to dovetail, fit together one way or the other, because God is saying some things that are very important to us. Yes, we started out by, I will bless the Lord at all times. When Brother Greenwich came here and shared those wonderful thoughts, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's a place that we all have to be in, to be prepared to bless the Lord, irrespective of circumstances, irrespective of whatever takes place. We must be prepared to bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And that's important. And then the following day, it was a very touching event, as we have all experienced. The transition of our little sister from the temporary to the permanent. And I must tell you this. I am so grateful that I did have the opportunity to meet with Shay. And I spoke with her outside. At the first glance, I couldn't remember her. But later on, I thought I went right back into my memory bank. And I remember when I asked her her name and she pronounced her name, I thought, well, this is the name of a boy. And then, but she was so spunky, you know, she corrected me. And I was so glad to know that that was a new name for me. I've never heard that name before, but I'm thankful to the Lord. Thanks to you young people for being so supportive. In your grief, the Lord will strengthen you. Grief comes for a purpose, and the Lord in His presence will strengthen us in that. So I want to encourage you to press on, because it's the way that we have to just be prepared for any event. Because nothing that comes our way, remember this, nothing that comes our way that the grace of God cannot sustain us. Nothing, absolutely nothing at all. So I've been pondering on these meetings, and we have heard about the love of God. We have heard about so many nuggets. But there's something that at least was mentioned in passing, either in prophecy or from the pulpit here, about the kingdom of God. That kingdom spoken about in the book of Daniel. So I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Daniel. Well, in the interest of time, we would not be able to read the entire chapter or read large portions of the scripture, but I will just take some verses out. I know that this is a story that you're all familiar with, but let's look at chapter 2, verse 31. It speaks about the great image. And this was at a time in the history of Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar was king. And he had a dream. He wanted to know the significance of this dream. So he asked his wise men, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and all of them, if they can give the dream and the explanation. And some of them came to him and said, sorry, we could only give you the explanation if you tell us the dream. Well, when I think about Nebuchadnezzar, he was very smart. He said, no, I want you to tell me if you're really truthful, if you're really dealing with the divine, I want you to tell me the meaning, that I want you to tell me this dream, and I want you to tell me the meaning. Because you could tell me anything. If I tell you the dream, you could give me any interpretation. And so there was a threat that went out that if they were not able to give the interpretation and the dream, they will be slaughtered, they will be killed. And that there was a certain man, Daniel, he was in the midst there. He and the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were taken out of Israel during the captivity. They were chosen specifically by the king to be there. He decided to choose those who are healthy, those young men who are wise, and who could be of a benefit to his kingdom. That must have been a smart king. Anyway, when Daniel came in to meet with the king in verse 31 of chapter 2, if we just turn our attention, so I just paraphrase that part so we could jump right into chapter 2, verse 31. And this is the words of what Daniel and the prophet, as a young man, he came, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all young people. They were enrolled in what we might call the King's University. They were enrolled in a school there. They had to learn all of the customs and the mores of that great nation, Babylon. And this is what he says. Thou, O king, sawest and beholdest a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood above thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And then he went on to give the interpretation. And this is the area that I like us to focus on a little bit more. He said, this is the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation. You notice he said, we will tell you the interpretation. There was a plurality there, because prior to going to see King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a prayer meeting with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he was a man of prayer himself. And so he had that prayer meeting, and he said he's going to give the interpretation. Verse 37, and thou, O king, are the king of kings, for the God of heaven had given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven had given unto thine hand, and had made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So he's giving the explanation here. And Nebuchadnezzar must have felt proud about the idea that he is the head and he is gold, which was the more superior element compared to the others like brass or bronze and iron and, of course, clay. I'm the lowest of the lot there. And verse 30, and after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another kingdom, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall make rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as the iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things, and an iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And verse 41 says, and whereas thou sawest the feet of and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as one of the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, there shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the one stone was cut out from the mountain which without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation made sure. So that was the dream that Daniel had. That was the interpretation. And so that must have sent a rippling effect in the mind of Nebuchadnezzar, because he wanted to know what was happening. And there are just a few points I would like to share with you, because I notice our time is just slipping by so quickly. The first thing I want you to realize that Daniel was taken from Israel, and he was placed into Babylon, into a worldly system, a godless system, a system of idolatry, where people worship idols and statues and images, as we have learned. And this Daniel, he was a man chosen of God. That's our position. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone." And it goes on. Well, you know the words. So Daniel was called. But the important thing that we need to remember, that the kingdom of God was in Daniel. The kingdom of God was in Daniel as he was placed into the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon represents the world. Babylon represents all the things that we see around us. And today, if there is ever a time that the church is being challenged, it is now. We find the systems are so designed. We live in societies that, I have to be frank with you, that is just corrupt and evil, and just going more and more into evil. So we, God has called us to be Daniels, to stand for him, to continually realize that we are citizens of another kingdom. We are not citizens of this world kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And that's very important, that we are called to be members of the body of Christ. We are called to be the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus, when he was preaching, he said those exact words in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read it, if you can follow in your Bibles. That's Jesus. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" The kingdom of God is within us. So a kingdom that is within us as we live in a worldly kingdom, so to speak. Jesus puts it right. He says that we are in the world, but not of the world. The church must be the church. The church must operate under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and not be pushed and pulled with the worldliness that takes place there. You know, I think of that word. There is a word of greetings that they use in some parts in Asia. For example, India. In the northern part of India, when somebody sees you, they would say namaste or namaskar. And where we normally go, in South India, in Kerala, and those southern states there, they use the word namaskaram. All right. Namaskaram. And they would put their hands like this, and they would say, namaskaram. And that is more than just a greetings. That is deeper than a greetings. That is simply saying that I bow to the divine in you. And that really, when I began to do the research on that, that really shook me up. Translate that into what we believe, into what we hold in the scriptures. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is within you. And I want to encourage you as God's people, every time we shake another brother's hand, I'm taking this cue from Brother Smith. Every time you shake a brother's hand, you're shaking with a member of the body of Christ. You're shaking with hand with someone that is a member of the kingdom of God. Every time. So we should have that respect for each other. We should have that love one for another. Paul had a similar difficulty. He had to write to the churches and says, love one another, treat one another with respect, be humble towards one another. Don't try to fight against each other. If we fight against each other, we are no better than those that are in another kingdom, in the kingdoms of the world. That's what takes place. Look at the kingdoms of the world today. You'll find their protests, their fighting, their political maneuverings, and all the things that goes on in the world. Well, I have good news for you. That's not in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace, is a kingdom of joy, is a kingdom where we can enjoy each other, build up each other in the faith. So, one of the things, I have to be honest with you, brethren, one of the things that really bothers me, is to see a member of the body of Christ just destroying another member of the body of Christ. That's very pathetic. That's very grievous. And it grieves the hearts of God. It really grieves the heart of God. So I encourage you, as we go to our homes and we leave this camp today, may we go with the love of Christ in our hearts. May we go, like what that little song says, love is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. Because the King is in residence here. The King is in residence here. You see, we can't have a kingdom just by itself. A kingdom is broken up into two words. It's a king, the word king, and the word dumb. Meaning, not that the people are dumb. It simply means domain. A king over a domain. And this kingdom of God is a domain of peace. This is the king we're so happy about. Ask anybody if they're dissatisfied with their king, and I'm sure I get a big no. Because why? This king is touched with the very feelings of our infirmities. He's a king. He's our king. He's our friend. He's our brother. Hallelujah. What more can we expect? A king that understands us. A king that gave himself for us. How many kings would do that? So within the kingdom of God, there's sacrificial love. There's peace. This is the example that he gave to us, that he wants us to follow. This here, the second, I know time again is going. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17. 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. This kingdom is filled with joy. It's filled with happiness. It's filled with that peace. It's filled with righteousness. Righteousness. And we were down in South America, and whenever I teach on righteousness, I simply use the word, righteousness means right living. Right living. So within this kingdom is what the Lord expects us to obey, to live and to please him. This is what Daniel encountered. Just take the example. Daniel, he was in this empire. Well, he was blessed to live through two empires. And while he was there, he had to partake. Well, he was, the law was that he should partake with whatever the meals they provide and the drink and so on. But he said, you know, if I could just lay this aside. And the guy who was in charge of him said, if the king happens to know this, he will kill me. And he said, well, let's work an experiment here for 10 days and see what's going to happen. At the end of 10 days, a short period of time, see what's going to happen. By the time that period was finished, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked better, they were stronger, despite they were not using the king's food and the king's meal. So that must have been Daniel obeying the Lord here. He did not partake of the things that were in Babylon. He partook of the kingdom of God. He was a different guy. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Those are the carnal things, right? We have to eat and we have to drink. But the emphasis is not there in the kingdom of God. The emphasis is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so, that's it. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, the words of Jesus again, speaking about this kingdom, he said, no man having his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I remember one of the messages I made a note, as I think Brother Holt was saying, Jesus never deviated from the Father's will. Jesus never deviated from the Father's will. Hallelujah. We are called to walk this way. We are called to, it's a straight course. And so there are many distractions around us. Let us trust the Lord that we will walk straight before Him and be obedient to Him. One of the most remarkable things of this dream and the interpretation was a stone cut out without hands. You see, the statue of itself was made by hands. They had to get special workmanship and they had to get special people maybe to put together. I was doing some reading and it was said that some of the gold and the silver and all the rest don't necessarily fuse together. The clay and iron, they don't necessarily fused together, maybe just for ornamental purposes, but not to withstand any wind or a stone hitting it. But this stone came from nowhere. It was without the hands of man. The statue was made by the hands of men. And this kingdom is not a kingdom of man. This is the kingdom of God. It's an everlasting kingdom mentioned in this book. It's not a kingdom for the temporal. It's a kingdom forever and ever. Jesus prayed that prayer. He said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. That's the kingdom that we are part of. That's what we are part of, a permanent kingdom. And that's what we can rejoice over. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, speaks about the lively stones. That's who we are, part of this stone kingdom. I'll use the word stone kingdom, coming from nowhere. And this stone came and just crashed into this statue, hitting it. And the Bible says that the entire statue went as the summer threshing floor went. Because all other kingdoms will fail. The political kingdoms of men will fail. We see recently what has happened in England with this Brexit and all of the history that goes behind it. We see what's happening in the nations. They're confused. We just read the book of Daniel, and it gives you the whole perspective of what's happening. Iron will not be able to mix with clay. There's a word that the politicians use. They call it coalition, to give people that there is a sense of unity. But iron would never mix with clay. I'll tell you something, people of God. The United Nations will never be able to solve the problems of the world. It will take the Spirit of God to minister and solve those problems. Because the problems of the world are spiritually based. As was mentioned here, that education will not solve the problem. Education might be able to help in some areas, but the bottom line is the Spirit of God is important in meeting with people here. So this image, Nebuchadnezzar had an image problem. He really had an image problem. And what he did in the third chapter, he made an image, not of bronze or of iron or clay. He made a complete image that is 90 feet high by 9 feet. Well, for those who are in Canada, I don't know how to translate. Maybe 30 meters by 3 meters. I hope my math is okay. And he made this statue of gold. Of gold. You see how the guy is thinking. And he made it, and he wanted them to bow down to it. Well, there were 3 guys who said, "We will not bow. We will not bow. We've got the kingdom of God inside of us, and we will not bow." And so they took their stand, and that became a powerful witness. I want to challenge you this morning that we need to take our stand as the people of God. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian, that you are walking with Jesus and walking with the Lord. And the Lord will bless you for doing that. So, in the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 8, speaks about the statues. The statues of the Lord are right. That's the statue that we look to. The statue of the Lord. If you really want to look to a statue, look to the statue of the Lord, which means the Word of God or the law of God. And that's the statue in Psalms 19, verse 8, for those making some notes here. When my heart is overwhelmed, do what? In Psalm chapter 62, verse 2, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock, hallelujah. And Jesus himself said it when he asked Peter, "Well, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" And there was that debate or questioning going back and forth. And Peter, being the impetuous one, he was always up front. He said, "Some say Elias, some say this." And then the direct question was, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ." Amen. The Christus, the Messiah, the called one. And Jesus' response was, Upon this rock, the rock that came out from nowhere, will I build my church. Hallelujah! That's the rock that we are part of. Solid rock. And Jesus is that rock. He is the head of the body. We are all members one of another. That's the kingship that I just love. You know, there is nothing to worry about. I was in a certain country, which I would not mention here, where there is a king, and you had to be very careful in saying anything for, maybe against the king, because and you never know. Because when you're in a kingdom, you could be penalized for saying anything against the king. Anyway, that was it. You know, the political kingdoms of men, I said, will fall. And I like what Jesus says. In the scripture mentioned about the kingdoms of evil, there is a kingdom out there that will constantly come, the kingdom of evil. And the scripture mentions clearly, when you would have cast out devils or demons, know that the kingdom of God has come unto you. There's always an opposing force. And just to mention to you that, you know, many places we go, we pray for people, many who are being disturbed, who have been affected by evil spirit. It's simply because they have given or allowed that evil kingdom to come in within them and control them. And the opposition, when you face somebody, tell you the anointing is so powerful just to deliver them and set them free, bringing them out of the kingdom of evil right into the kingdom of God. The Lord is able to do that. And so that's why we want to encourage you. This is the kingdom of joy, peace, happiness, and the list goes on. There's some things here that God wants to encourage us as God's people. I hear the word encouragement, encouragement, encouragement throughout this camp. Because God's people need to be encouraged. Never, never be discouraged. Never give up, as someone said. Keep pressing on towards the mark of the price of the high calling of God. Our time is gone. I wish to continue this, but maybe next year camp I'll do so. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. I realize that many of us have got to travel long ways. Can we just link our hands together? And the reality is, this is the reality here, that we are here together. We do not know what next year will bring forth. Next camp, we might see someone that we're praying with now. They may slip away into the heavenlies. So that's why it's important. Very, very important. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as your people, linking hands together. Lord, we thank you for this camp, from beginning to end. We thank you for everything that was said and done. And Lord, we thank you for the goodness of your people. Thank you for the way you've expressed yourself in and among your people. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We praise your name. We pray you bless us, O God, as we travel far and near. We pray your protection. Bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Bless our basket. Bless our store. Bless everything we put forth our hands to do, Lord. Bless our week before us. Bless our homes that we left behind. Bless our loved ones. Bless our neighbors. Bless our friends. Bless our local churches. Bless, 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 oh Lord. May your blessing be so much within us that we leave this camp with the blessing of the Lord. Most of, and above all, with that spiritual blessing, oh God, that stands out above all, that we might be equipped to face the enemy, to face the kingdoms of evil, to say no to the Babylonian kingdom, and to say yes to God. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the strength, dear God. God, touch husbands and wives. May marriages be stronger today. Lord, touch the children and their parents. May our homes be strengthened today in Jesus' name. Father and God, we thank you for our friends. Lord, we thank you for those who might be streaming this service. We pray your blessing upon them. Bless them in their homes. Just bless everyone, oh God. Today, Lord, as your people, we pronounce a blessing on everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We can, amen, thank you. We can come to attention. You know this service could go on another 2 hours, right? You're aware of that. Anyway, God bless you, and you can have your seats. On behalf of all of the ministries, I would take the liberty to say thanks to all of you for making such an effort to come to camp. We are aware it's not always easy. It's not always straightforward, but God will bless you as you serve him. Thank you very much. Take the message at home. Take the message to your local church. Keep on keeping on. Amen?
Amen.
The best is yet to come. I'm just making use of my time as I step down here. Thank you. God bless you.